Welcome to North Gates Podcast. We pray you enjoy the teaching of God's Word. May the Holy Spirit encourage, exhort, and comfort you. We invite you to come and see what the Lord is doing at North Gate. Come and grow with us. May you be blessed by the God of hope.
In your precious name. Amen. Amen. So we're back to Ephesians. I guess the break was a little longer than I had first anticipated. I thought it'd be a week or two, but I'm the one who ruined that. So anyways, we gave you a little bit of a first Sunday exhortation of the year, and that to renew your mind, to be in truth, take a step of faith that's led by God's Word and the Holy Spirit, and see what the year has in mind. So many weeks back, almost a month ago, where we finished off was a little bit of that passage at the end of Ephesians chapter 5, talking about marriage and the roles, and more importantly, Christ and what he's done. If you missed that and you're interested, you can get that online and take a listen. But yeah, where were we? Ephesians, just a little backdrop again. The book, we know we began, it started as we believe in Christ, who we are. We're saved by grace through faith. What a joy to understand that God has prepared good works for us. All these prayers we talked about, praying for each other, that we would have wisdom and revelation to know God. We know our inheritance, have hope in that, the power that is available to us as we believe in Christ. Yeah, wonderful things. Chapter 3, that we would be strengthened in the inner man to give Christ more room in our lives, and that we would know the unknowable love of God. Like, this book is so powerful. But when we entered chapter 4, we got into some practical things, knowing how we sit with God, as Watchman Nee would say in his commentary. It talks about how we walk with God, how we walk in unity using our spiritual gifts, not grieving the Holy Spirit, forgiving one another, walking in love, being imitators of God, walking in holiness, walking in the light, walking in the Spirit, walking in wisdom, being serious and using our time wisely to show the love and truth of Christ. A lot of walking, huh? Walking. Because we know where we sit, we walk. And I was reminded this week as we head into chapter 6, clearly there's a real interesting flow in Ephesians 2, which talks about the spiritual battle. And we'll get into more of that next week. But the reality, it's not just chapter 6 in this book. It's all through this book that we do have a real enemy. And he's called the Prince of the Power of the Air, the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But we sit in heavenly places. I love it, but it says, but God, right? Who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were living disobedient lives, he came, died, rose again. Amazing. But throughout this, I only point that out to show you, if we're not following Christ and his truth, there's only one other alternative. And that is the devil. There is kind of no gray. You're on one side or you're being influenced by the other. And so often we might not think that, but that's what God's word says. And as we enter into chapter 6, I was thinking about that, and you'll know these verses, right? You'll know, like, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Parents, how many times have you quoted that? right? And then maybe your child's a Bible scholar and they go right back to you. And they say, well, don't provoke me to wrath, Dad. Not that. If your son's a real scholar, maybe he does that. So tremendous balance in the scripture. But we know these verses. But what I think at the heart of it, what we don't understand is the battle that's going on right in front of us in the spiritual realm, where Satan is like implanting in the world's thoughts, it's okay to do what you want. It's okay to just, if you think it's right, do it. If you feel it, do it. But God's word doesn't say that. And when we come to this area of obedience and submission in regards to the workplace or in regards to families, there's always that thought, and it's been there since the beginning with Adam and Eve, and you could do anything, just don't touch this tree, right? The battle began and Satan came. Like, really? Did he really say that? What does he get in the heart? You could do what you want. Go eat. Like, he's just afraid. God's afraid that you'll be like him. So this spiritual battle has gone on, and this prince of the power of the air, he's working that we would be disobedient. And by the way, Satan, he works in long courses of time, right? To slowly bring us to the place where we're not obeying what truth is. It's not immediate. It's this long push. And then pretty soon we start to justify. And then our society says, well, you don't have to listen to your parents or your boss. You don't have to do that. But we know that there is a blessing. And obedience is crucial. And that is exemplified by the one we serve, Jesus Christ. Jesus would never ask us to do something that he did not do. Amen? So, let's read it, and I'll give you a little commentary, and then we'll be done. Only if it was that simple, huh? Anyways, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, and sometimes mothers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Verse 5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as man pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master, capital M, also is in heaven, and there is no partiality in him. And we will stop there. That's enough, right? So, the home, the workplace. And remember, this is on the heels in chapter 5 of being filled with the Spirit in all aspects of our life. So we need to be filled with the Spirit in our marriages, in our homes, and where we work, which probably, that's about a lot of our life, right? That's a lot, right? How much time you spend at work? How much time you spend with your family? How much time you spend with your spouse? Okay, we're about at 96% now. And the reality is, we need to be filled with the Spirit in all aspects of these normal life things. We need to be like Jesus. So, over the Christmas break, I had a privilege of talking to, not a believer, but somebody who is a principal in America. And his job, believe it or not, is kind of like an assistant principal job, but he was in charge of discipline in his high school. So I said, how's it going? He's on the verge of burnout, had absolutely enough. And he said every day he goes to work can be a complete and utter adventure of chaos. This is just reality. Again, I'm not telling you this guy's a believer. I'm telling you, he's just telling me about his job. He wants out. He wants to change to a different age group. Every day, depression, anxiety, anger, fear, that creates all sorts of behavior, everything that follows. And he said, Dan, the problem is when there's big problems, you almost get desensitized to the little problems, but the little problems actually are really big problems. And I go to work and I don't know what I'm going to face. So in our discussion, it came up, well, what do you think is the biggest problem? Why is this happening? Again, not a believer. And he specifically said, it is because, in my experience, I don't have to read any studies, you see a dysfunctional home, a broken home, and you will see a broken child. This is, again, not a believer. Specifically, fathers, and it's mentioned here, but we'll say mothers, who will not create stability within the home, leads, unfortunately, to behavior. He has had to discipline children, caught them on videotape, and the parents will come in denying, saying their child never did it, and they have no right to discipline their children. This is where we're living. Do you understand that? Like, this is the power of the prince of the air who wants to take away all right and wrong. But the world, him and the world, trying to help the world, good fella, just saying, this is not easy. You see, this thinking of the power of the prince of the air, that there has to be no obedience, really is eating away at our society, is breaking it down continually. And it's very sad. Could you imagine Jesus, and I'll get to this a little later, in the garden, if he said to the Father, no, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. Where would we be today? So, just a little bit of this battle, which is a reality in our lives. First and foremost, I kind of want to put, like, this is really important, a statement on all of this, where it says, obey your parents in the Lord. I do not believe the Bible would ever require a child to follow a parent asking them to sin or be a part of any form of sin or abuse, period. So don't ever think when someone claims authority from a verse to bring someone into sin, it is right. It is actually weak and inexcusable. And it should never be done. Where we say, I'm going to hurt you because the Bible gives me permission. No. Okay, is that clear enough before we move on? And we here would never support that. Actually, if you look at God's word, it says in Matthew 18:16, Jesus, if anyone causes one of these little ones to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Do you think that Jesus takes it serious? Listen to his word. Okay? But generally, we're not talking specifically, I've made it clear, right? Generally, what we're following is, I don't have to do what anyone tells me to do. And we know that's not right. Actually, we know in 2 Timothy chapter 3, It says, in the last days, perilous times will come. And by the way, this is Paul writing Timothy, I think, telling him, like, we're almost in back then, you know, like, all that time ago, like, we are in the end. This is difficult, perilous times. And you know what happens to be one of the things he mentions when describing, like, lovers of pleasure, lovers of self. Oh, that list, last days, perilous times. One of the signs that the world is taking over in its thought pattern, that things aren't good, that Christ coming back soon, is that children will be disobedient to parents. Will actually not only happen, but it will be in some ways encouraged in the thoughts of the world. If we get to the point, the reality where authority does not matter, and we think we know what's right and wrong all the time, we're in trouble. I love this in Hebrews, because we talk about obedience and submission. It says Jesus, this is a crazy verse in Hebrews 5:8. Like, I can't wrap my mind around it sometimes, but Jesus, who was perfect, we know that, right? It says he learned obedience through the things he suffered. Now, what? Like, am I the only one? Like, how does Jesus learn obedience? Right? He was never disobedient. But it says clearly he learned obedience. And that's amazing because that's the example we have in Christ. Right? Of the one who chose to submit, as I mentioned, the one who learned the utter importance of how to defeat evil was in submitting to God, the truth of God, and the commands of God. The one thing I have learned about parenting, and we're going to get into it in a little bit just quickly, is you got to be really careful, though, in how you do this. And I've made so many mistakes. And I mentioned before, yeah, I'm the king of writing my kids sometimes, asking them for forgiveness. The Bible says we're trained or taught not to do ungodly things in Titus chapter 2 by the grace of God. Do you know that? Like, how to train a child. And when Amy and I do a parenting seminar, it always ends up, you have to parent in grace. It doesn't mean you don't have rules. But how you deal with things, if you don't have the heart and the grace of God as you deal with things, what you do is create here, your children are going to be provoked unto wrath. And as we said before, if you're training just for behavior and not the heart to obey, but just to see good little Johnny or good little Catherine, you're in deep trouble. Because we're not called to mold our kids into a format, but to teach them about God and unfold them into the truth of what he says. And if you want to go with your hammer for many little things and always be, I'm telling you, your kids are going to run the other way the moment they have the chance. Okay, hi. How are we doing? Good. The reality is, hold tight to what is true in your home, but don't have a list of 5,000 rules. Okay, do you hear me? Hold to what is true. Have your kids understand in their heart the love of Christ, the grace of Christ. Train them up in how he loves them and forgives them, and how Jesus obeyed his Father because he loved his Father. Now, obviously, we start in the fear of God, but the fear of God turns into the love of God, and the love of God holds us and motivates us to walk with him. Thinking through this, it was like at hockey Friday night, and someone actually did the devotional on Ephesians 2, And it was kind of, they quoted the spiritual battle. And I thought of 2 Corinthians and that we are in a spiritual battle. And I thought, here, listen to me, what our greatest weapon is. Our greatest weapon is the cross of Christ against the enemy. Our greatest weapon is the forgiveness and grace of Jesus. That's what empowers us to defeat evil. But the crazy thing is, that love, that grace that Christ knew, empowered him to obey and submit. And as we see that and do that, the devil has no chance. When I know to do the right thing because I'm loved and God loves me and he wants the best for me and let's go this way and I know that and I know what is right or wrong because he says that and I sense who he is and then I step into what is right, the devil has no power. It is such a weapon to know the cross. And that the devil was defeated by submission and obedience because motivated by grace and love. And that's what we're trying to teach our kids. Amen? Now you can just expand that out, by the way, to the workplace. If you are at work, and your boss isn't asking you to sin or take you into sin, but he's asking you to do something which is like a stinky task. Well, what does God's word say we should do? You know, like, really? You want me to pick those rocks, those weeds? But we do it for God, not for people. Again, not sin. I'm just talking as I'm motivated by the power of God in my life. When I'm filled with the Spirit, we can submit one to another. And you can give me the mean, like the yucky tasks. Because I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for God. And in that, I'm setting an example that is amazing. We definitely weren't great parents, but this idea of authority and submission. My kids worked at Tim Hortons, and it wasn't necessarily the greatest job. It was hustle sometimes. But you know, the boss, I meet them sometimes. Oh, you're the dad of Abby or Lizzie, or you're the dad of Lee. I want to let you know, they're really good workers. And I'm saying not that we were perfect. But when there's this idea in your head, okay, I've learned out of God's love for me in my heart to submit to the authority over me. And I go, do you know what? In the workplace, it's unheard of anymore. And it's a witness and like, wow, they're going to be on the worst task. Whatever it was, soup and sandwiches. They always tell me, 8 straight hours, Dad. Right? The pressure. But in that, there was a witness. And that's what we do. And I guarantee you, you reap what you sow. And the longer you're there, guess what? You get more responsibility because that's just how it goes. We learn through God's word what is true. And if we're not teaching our children, here it is, the principle that is here, okay? What happens is when they get in the workforce or life, or even greater, of submission, and they don't know it, when they get to God and God says, this is wrong or this is right, and they say, no, I'm not going to do it. These principles are so important. And, you know, by the way, the old covenant thing here, you'll live a long life. I've known a lot of obedient people who have died early So he's not saying like you're going to be eternal because you obey your parents. Paul's pointing this out, he's saying this was really important to God in the old covenant. This is really important to God here and now. That's what he's saying. He's not saying, okay, you're going to live to 110 because you obeyed your parents. He's saying this is really important. And we should listen. And it's not the necessarily child, parent, bondservant, master. It's the principle and the fight behind it that we see again all the way to Genesis and the battle that is ensued. Praise God for his love, his grace, and his forgiveness. My mom always, she said this to me a couple years ago. I'd never heard it, but I kind of like the phrase. Here it is. Are you ready for this? You take yourself wherever you go. How do you like that one? You're talking about people who want to change their life because then it would change their circumstance, move, or whatever. She's like, you know what, son? You're going to take your life wherever you go. So you can change jobs all you want. And I've seen this with people. You can move to China. You're still stuck with yourself. Right? And if you have a heart that is all about the flesh following the prince of the air to do what you want above what God wants, you're going to take all your problems with you, or you're going to create a whole bunch of new ones. And I see people going job to job to job. I can't stand this boss. This boss was a jerk. Okay, now you've had 7 straight bad bosses. I'm exaggerating. But do you understand my point? If we don't learn in the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, and I'm not talking about sin, okay? But this truth, as we move forward with it, it changes things. Because God created us. He knows us. He knows what's best for us. He knows how things run well. Amen? Now, this provoking business, just quickly, if you're a boss or you're a parent, I didn't want to jump over this, but there's just 3 things I heard this week, and they resounded, and I failed miserably. But we do have young families here. Or if you ever are in authority over anyone, you know how you can provoke to anger. Here's a few things. Have unreasonable expectations of your employees or your children. That is the quickest way to drain life from somebody. I have learned that there's sometimes I expected my kids to do things that I couldn't even do myself. Be careful to stick with what God says, not what you think. You hear me? And I think, I see sometimes, and I'm not trying to point stuff out, but little boys running around, and or little girls, I'm not anyone, or they're a certain age, and we expect them to be adults, but we call them children. What's up with that, right? I'm not saying not have rules. I'm not saying don't hold what is true in love the right way. But just be careful, right? What you're trying to create and how you're doing it. And I sometimes live life with unreasonable expectations of people. Or we're like, I could do that. And we don't see where someone's challenged to walk with them. And we just have this end result expectation. Be careful. Aren't you glad that God is gracious with you? And it even says in the Psalms, he knows we are dust. He knows what's right, but he's patient, loving, and gracious in the process. Come on, aren't you happy? Aren't you happy sometimes that God didn't parent like you or me? Oh, praise God. Again, like everybody's like, oh, we're not supposed to have rules. I didn't say that, right? I would say that to my dogs. I didn't say that. Don't go run away, dog. Yes, we hold in love, but be careful. Secondly, we can get so critical when we correct that we do not show proper approval and love, And it can drive a child or an employee to get very angry with us. Do you know one encouraging word lasts way longer than continued correction? Again, am I saying you shouldn't correct? No. I'm saying in love. But be very careful. I think sometimes in my parenting, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, like, what can I do? Just be quiet and don't even say that. Right? Because my relationship with them sometimes was all about dad, saying don't do that. I remember sitting, and hopefully it changed my life a bit, with my oldest son, Stefan, and we had an argument. He's a strong-willed kid. He's number one. And I remember he was in high school, and we were arguing about something, and we got home. It was quiet. He was in a bunk bed. I'll remember it like yesterday. And I said, don't you know I love you? He said, yes, Dad. I said, don't you know I'm proud of you? No answer. Why? Because my character was always correcting. And I made it a vow at that point to really speak encouragement to when my kids did something well. Have I failed? Yes. Do I want to do better? Yes. But that was a lesson that I was just pulling the life right out of him. Pulling the life out, because everything he did wrong, I was telling him. And things he was doing right, I wasn't telling him. I was proud of him. Big lesson. Thirdly, even if it's a child, respect their heart and how they feel and allow them to express it. Am I saying there's no discipline? No. See, I'm speaking from all my failures here, okay? Come on, walk with me. Sometimes, even when we have to administer in love some form of discipline, it doesn't mean we don't listen. It doesn't mean we're not compassionate or sympathetic, or allow employees or children to express how they feel. And I am so glad that God, the perfect Father, made a way through Jesus, even in our yuckiness, to express ourselves at the throne of his grace and his mercy. Aren't you thrilled this morning? It was like, hey, that's just wrong. Cut it out. Well, sure, it's wrong, and sure, there's discipline, and sure, these are the rules, and sure, God will judge. Yes, that's true. But come to Jesus and let his grace and his mercy train you into what is right. Because there clearly is what is right or wrong, whether we like it or not, and our world tells us other things. But yes, but God wants to use his grace coming to you to heal the brokenness, to say, this is the way to go. This is the way to go. Nowhere today you will hear me say that there is any bend on the rules. But how we teach and train is crucial to the heart. By the way, it says bondservants a few times, right? You know, a bondservant in the Old Testament wasn't a slave. A bondservant started and then chose to say, my master is good, I'm going to stay with him. And that's what it's called with Jesus. Jesus is calling in life these principles, but we see his goodness. He's a good master. And we say, yes, I will choose to submit to you. And that is it. It's bond servants. I'm not here to please men. I'm not here to make you happy. I'm not here to say what you want to hear. I'm here to speak God's word in the hard things. Don't use the authority of Scripture to abuse or anything. That is weak. I'll speak it, right? If it says we need to submit to God's word and children, you need to listen to this, I'm going to speak it, right? I don't want to be a man pleaser. I want to fear the Lord and his love and say, oh man, his way is better. His way is better. But the battle, where did I start, is real because, woo, the devil's working OT, my friends. And you know, in some ways, he's winning. He doesn't have to win in us. Because we can be different. How? Being filled by the Spirit. Let me tell you something. No chance. No chance without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And it's just like kind of all circular, because if you sin, you're quenching the Spirit. You see that? Like if I choose to sin and disobey like Adam and Eve, then I quench the Spirit and I don't have what I need to truly obey. It's like, woo, woo, woo. So I'm going to choose out of the grace and what God's done for me. I'm going to obey. And then what happens is the Spirit just works and has freedom in me to give me more strength and more power to be like Him. Amen. Come on. You are not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. Amen. And it's the victory to have Christ have complete control, led by the Spirit to do what He says. Amen. Come on. We're going to walk in this world in love, in truth, proclaiming what is right. Amen. Brokenness is all around us, but Jesus is the answer. Father God, we are thankful this morning for your grace and your goodness, for your love. I pray that your Holy Spirit was speaking. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder. I don't want my words to resound with anyone, but that which was of God, that which was of the Holy Spirit, I pray that it would be spoken to each heart to what it needs to hear. The battle is won on the cross, the forgiveness and love of Jesus. And that's what we're going to celebrate now. The bread and the juice represent His body and His blood. The love, His love for the Father, His love for us, drove Him to obey to a gruesome death. But He knew He was paying the price for our sin. And in that truth, we have victory as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died and rose again. There's nothing we can do in ourselves to defeat evil. But as we look to Jesus and see what He's done in His love, in His obedience, we are set free. We are victors. Yeah, to do the good works set out for us, to do the obedience, to do the submission, to do the love. Oh, man. So this morning, we confess our failure. I do, certainly, first and foremost. I live in your grace. Yeah, oftentimes people can be mad at me. My learned go-to response, God, is simply this. I am dependent on God's grace. And I'm striving to be like Him each day. I'm forgiven. And I desire to forgive. Lord, may that be our heart. May you empower us. We're so dependent on your work. We are nothing without the cross. Maybe this is new to you. Maybe it's not. Maybe it was said in a new way. But if you don't know the love of Jesus Christ, you're not willing at this point to repent and turn. He loves you. He's waiting. He wants to set you free. I don't know, maybe you've been to church your whole life, but you've never committed your life to Him and His work. I would encourage you. I would plead with you. I would invite you. There's nothing, nothing, no way other than accepting, believing in the blood of Jesus Christ. Just choose Him. It's good news. It's the gospel. It's His grace for you. It's a gift. Maybe you That's not you, but you're kind of failing a bit like the rest of us. What a beautiful moment we have to turn to God, to start fresh, to see our forgiveness, to confess our failure, to know what He's done, to be set free, to walk out these doors this week, a child of God, empowered by His Spirit, forgiven, to walk in all the plans He has for you, for His glory.
Thanks for listening. If you want any information about our church, check us out at northgateministry.com. If you'd like to listen to more teachings, you can listen at YouTube at Northgate Ministry.